अचला प्रतिष्ठां समुद्रमाफा प्रविशन्ति स्यात्वात् तत्वात् कामायां प्रविशन्ति सर्वे स शान्तिम् आप्नोत् न कामकामे. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. I would like to welcome all of our honored guests to Sri Sri Radharas Bihari Mandir. During this very sacred event in which we are celebrating Janmashtami, the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, and the centennial Vyas Puja, the 100th appearance day of the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who by his personal devotion and surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead transformed the lives of millions of people throughout the entire world. In this verse from Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is explaining from the second chapter how we can achieve real peace. This material world is a place of suffering, and that cannot be stopped. Dukalayam ashashvatam. It is the nature of this world, because everything is temporary, because everything is based on the principle of duality, that nothing can remain. We are all seeking and striving with great effort to find happiness, but distress will come of its own accord. We are all striving for good health, but disease will come beyond our ability to withstand. And by the force of time, the very span of our life is deteriorating moment by moment. How possibly could the eternal soul find happiness in a world of death, old age, disease, and another birth, where we repeat the same process? Krishna is explaining here that the bliss of the soul coming in contact with the Lord is so immensely great, it is like an ocean. The ocean is so full that whatever the situation of the rivers may be, does not affect it. During the rainy seasons, sometimes there is great floods and the rivers swell up and overflow. And when they come rushing into the ocean with a mighty current, it is with human society cannot withstand it. Sometimes when there are floods, even in the United States of America, sometimes considered the most materially advanced country in the world, recently there were very, very heavy rains, something like we experience today here in Juhu, downpours of rains. And it went on for weeks and weeks. And there's a river called Mississippi River. And it just became so flooded that it became miles and miles and miles wide. And it destroyed towns and destroyed villages and destroyed billions and billions of dollars worth of agricultural fields. And it was such a disaster that with all the space scientists at NASA and all of the great PhD scholars from Harvard and MIT and the other great universities and all of the big, big industrialists and all the politicians, they couldn't do anything. All they could do is put out warnings to everyone living in those areas to abandon your home and get out. And they had no alternative place to put them. And because they put so many pesticides in the ground for the crops, the water became so polluted by touching the ground. Can you imagine? Mother Earth, who is so pure, has been contaminated so much by these poisonous chemicals that when the waters touched it, the waters became poison. And people were living in terrible, terrible floods, something like we see in Bengal. And the greatest problem was drinking water. What a sense of humor material nature has. Everyone's body is in complete distress due to water everywhere. And they have no water to drink. Because by their own technology, they made it so contaminated. So anyways, the most advanced country in the world was helpless. They could do nothing except wait for the rains to stop. The atheists were going to the churches, praying to God, please make the rain stop, because nobody else can help us. But the rains kept pouring and pouring and pouring, and eventually they stopped. And all of those rains of the Mississippi River, miles and miles and miles of wide, rushing, it was breaking down houses, breaking down buildings, the current of this river, destroying bridges, drowning people, drowning cars. And when it all went into the ocean just remained the same. It's not that the banks of the ocean started overflowing. And during the year before, there was a drought where the same river came to practically nothing. And then everyone was praying to God, send rains. All our crops are destroying because of no rains. Everything is finished. And that year, the ocean remained the same. Because of the depth of the ocean, it is not concerned with whether it rains or not, whether the rivers are full or whether the rivers are nothing. So we should know in this material world, sometimes there will be drought, sometimes there will be rain, sometimes there will be very nice proper rains, floods. In the same way, sometimes there will be pleasure and pain, and sometimes there will be honor or dishonor, happiness or distress, success or failure, victory or defeat. These changes will come inevitably, like the situations of a river within life, and they are all entering into our existence. But one who loves Krishna, one who experiences the pleasure of bhakti, Rupa Goswami called it the bhakti rasamrita sindhu, the ocean, the unlimited, unfathomable ocean of transcendental pleasure, of loving Krishna and serving Krishna. Such a person can be peaceful no matter what happens in this world. And it takes one who has achieved this peace to give that peace to others. And this is very rare. Krishna says in Gita, Mahatmanastu mamparata daivim prakriti mashita ajanki ananya manaso gyatpabhuta dimabhyayam. Such a Mahatma who is always engaged in his service is always experienced the love of Krishna. Brahmabhuta prasanatmana sochati naskanchati samasarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. Such a person, he aspires for nothing of this world, nor does he lament over that which is lost, because he is self-satisfied in engaging in the service of Krishna. And such a great soul is very rare. And the nature of such a great soul, whose heart is like an ocean of nectar, an ocean of love, is never content with swimming in that ocean himself, but wants to invite all the creatures suffering due to material forgetfulness of God to join him and enter in that ocean of divine bliss. Such a great soul lived within our midst just a few years ago. His divine grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Living in the holy land of Vrindavan, he was immersed in the ocean of transcendental happiness in love for Krishna. But seeing many fish trying to enjoy in the desert soils of this world, he wanted to invite everyone to come into the ocean with him. In our natural, original constitutional position of enjoying the pleasure of Krishna consciousness, eternal pleasure. Srila Prabhupada told us the story of how once, during World War II, Calcutta was being bombed by the enemies. I believe it was the Japanese. And they were dropping the bombs. And there were air raid sirens going off. You've heard air raid sirens. Very, very loud and very fearful. The sound of these air raids are even more fearful than the bombs themselves. And they probably do almost as much damage to your ears and to your consciousness. So everyone is running, going for the air raid shelters, running to the deepest basements, running to the subways, trying to find shelter. And Srila Prabhupada was cooking for his deities. He was making puris. And at that time, he was in his grihastha ashram. And his friends and family members were calling out, "Abhai, Abhai, come, the bombs are dropping." Not only were they hearing the air raids, but they were actually hearing the bombs dropping. One after another, in all directions. And people were scattering and running. Why were they grabbing their children, grabbing their pet dogs and cats, whatever, grabbing their jewelry, their radios, whatever they had, they were just grabbing and running to save. And Srila Prabhupada was calmly just chanting Hare Krishna, cooking puris. And everyone was praying, not praying, but calling out, "Abhai, come, come." He says, "You go, I will come later. Let me finish my offering to Krishna." And he just continued cooking his puris very peacefully, chanting the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Hare Rama.
And he explained to us that he was very happy, because when he heard all these explosions going out, he was thinking that my beautiful Lord Sri Krishna, who is so kind and merciful, has come to give his darshan in the form of these bombs. The Bhagavad Gita explains, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, for him I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. One can be peaceful. One can be in complete bliss in any situation if one is Krishna conscious. If one sees the presence of the Lord everywhere and in everything. When Srila Prabhupada, he spent an entire year developing this League of Devotees in the city of Jhansi. And then one fine day, the proprietors of that establishment told him, "You get out. We want to give it to someone else. Someone who has more political advantages than you." Because he was just a vanaprast, trying to spread love of God. And even after that year of hard work, losing everything, you would think an ordinary person would be very discouraged and think, "Let me just go to Vrindavan and just spend the rest of my life there. I am very old." But he understood that Krishna has another plan. Maybe he doesn't want me to stay in India. He wants me to preach this message all over the world. Maybe I should start this mission abroad. He wasn't discouraged. He was encouraged. He saw it as a signal from Krishna. A lesson from Krishna. And he was enlivened to accept that message and move forward in spreading Krishna consciousness. And when Srila Prabhupada came to the West, he had seen in India there are reciters of the various scriptures preaching all different kinds of philosophies, and sometimes lakhs and lakhs, hundreds and thousands of people come to one lecture. And what message they're giving, people generally do not even know. Srila Prabhupada was in New York City. He was all alone. He was living in various places wherever someone was charitable enough to let him stay, because he had no money. And he was just going to different meeting people and begging for people to let him just come into their apartment or flat and give some katha. And this was very difficult. And he writes in his diary that one time five people came to his lecture. And here he is, the Jagat Guru, the most empowered acharya in the entire planet. And he's sitting in somebody's apartment who hardly knows him. And he's giving a lecture to five strangers who have no interest in Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada writes in his diary how blissful he was. "Five people came," he said. "Five people! And they liked the chanting. And they liked the prasad I cooked. Now I am convinced that this Krishna consciousness will be accepted in the Western world and will spread throughout." He was so happy. Someone like me, there may be, how many people here tonight? Maybe 300. We were expecting 1,000. So I'm thinking, what is this? Why have they asked me to come here? That is my consciousness. But Srila Prabhupada, and I'm nothing except the tiny little speck of dust at the feet of the servants of the servants of the servants of such a great soul of Srila Prabhupada. And he was completely enlivened and enthusiastic to preach to five people who had no interest. But somehow or other, they said, "This chanting is nice." And they said, "This kachori tastes good." And he was very happy. He was in bliss. Because he was seeing Krishna. And then on another occasion, I believe it was 11 or 12 people came to a lecture he gave. And he said they liked Prasad so much, and they liked the chanting. Now I am convinced of the prophecy of Haridas Thakur, that this holy name and Prasad distribution will spread throughout the world. He was never discouraged. And whatever situations he was put in, he was always peaceful. He was always content. He was always eager to call more and more people into this ocean of love of God. And he always remained humble. To be truly humble, you have to be self-satisfied. Because as long as you are ambitious for something you don't have, you are always in a condition of competing with others to get it. And there is always that sense of pride. But because Srila Prabhupada was immersed in the ocean of transcendental happiness, he was the same in every situation. Sometimes he would chastise his disciples to correct them and bring them to a higher state of consciousness. Sometimes he would praise them. Sometimes he would encourage them. But he was always simply self-satisfied, doing the will of Krishna in the humblest state of mind. And it was that great ocean that actually flooded its banks. We read here in Bhagavad Gita that the ocean never floods, no matter how many rivers of material conditions go into it. But out of transcendental mercy, Srila Prabhupada's heart, which is like an unlimited ocean, it flooded unlimitedly to cover every continent on earth and allow millions of people to swim in the ocean of his love for Krishna through the chanting of the holy names of the Lord.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada explains in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita how the holy place of Prayag is where Ganga Devi and Jamuna Devi and Saraswati Devi are meeting, Triveni. And Srila Prabhupada explains that despite these three mighty rivers having its sangam at that place, it never floods. Historically, he says, it is known for not flooding. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, and he was inducing hundreds and thousands of people to raise their arms and chant the holy names, he said, for the first time, Prayag completely flooded with the waters of love of God. And Srila Rupa Goswami saw this. And by this inspiration, he sat at the Dashashvamedha Ghat at Prayag and heard for many days from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how to write literatures to instruct the whole world how to enter into this flood of love of God that he has brought to the world. Rupa Goswami's Samadhi Mandir was just a few seconds' walk from the place Srila Prabhupada resided at the Radha Damodar Temple in Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada spent many years praying at the feet, the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami, to give him the power to perform the service Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had given to him, to write literatures and to preach in such a way to invite the whole world to come into that flood of the rivers of love of God. And when Srila Rupa Goswami gave his blessings, Srila Prabhupada departed from Vrindavan, and with his Guru Maharaj's order foremost in his heart, he did spread that flood of love of God. And we all have the opportunity to enter into that great ocean. And this is what our human life is ultimately meant to achieve. The causeless mercy of such a great personality. Rather than spending our lives second by second, moment by moment, day by hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, birth after birth after birth, Maya is stealing away the chance to enter into that ocean of bhakti. Because we put so many priorities in front of this. Komara acharet pragyo dharman bhagavataniha durlabam manusat janmathar apyatubam arathadam. From the earliest age of childhood is the most important time to take seriously our spiritual lives. Because at every moment, Maya is stealing away our existence. Tomorrow never comes. We are so concerned, as students, as children, we're concerned with our playing. Let me play. Let me have fun. When I get older, then perhaps I will take to this spiritual way of life. And then we go into school, and then college and university, and so many deadlines, so many exams, so many projects, and we're thinking, how can I take this Krishna consciousness seriously now? Better I wait till I graduate. Let me just put it off. In this way, Maya is just stealing away our life second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. As soon as you get accustomed or conditioned to putting it off, it becomes like a habit. Bad habits should be stopped at once. Just like a person taking cigarettes. It is a terrible habit to break. Very difficult. Once you're conditioned to be smoking cigarettes, to give it up is painful. And the longer you smoke, the more difficult it is, because it's a habit. So people think, let me just smoke two more, then I'll give it up. One more, then I'll give it up. One more, one more. And soon, so much of this is in you that you're addicted. In the same way, we go through our childhood, we go through our school years thinking, I will take to Krishna consciousness a little later. Now let me just solve this problem today. The problem I have is I have to write a paper. The problem I have to study for my exam. So many. And we become accustomed, we become addicted, we become habituated, conditioned to putting our spiritual life second to something else. And then we graduate. And then we're cast into the real world, where we have to accomplish something. We have to succeed. We have to make our future. And we're already conditioned. So we're thinking, let me just do this. Then I will become serious about my spiritual life. Let me just have a nicer house. Let me develop. I'm just married. Let my family grow up a little. Let my children get married. Then I will take care of it. By that time, you're so addicted to spiritual procrastination, it's almost impossible to give up. Therefore, Prahlad says, now is the time. Whatever stage of life, now is the time. Srila Prabhupada, just a few years ago, walked this earth. In fact, just a few years ago, he sat in this very Juhu complex of Radharas Bihari's temple and was preaching the ultimate truth. Hundreds of lectures he gave right here where we are sitting today. He was flooding this area with the ocean of love of God and begging people, come in, come in. But the fishes on the deserts are thinking, let me just accomplish one more thing in this desert, then I will come in. And soon death comes. And it is the greatest regret for the soul. Srila Prabhupada understood that in this age of Kali Yuga, it is an emergency. The sirens are going off, the air raids. And the bombs are dropping. They're dropping everywhere around us. People are dying. There's catastrophes. There's epidemics. There's plagues. There's disasters everywhere around us. You look in the newspapers. If you're intelligent, you'll just read the Srimad Bhagavatam and not worry about the newspapers. If you just understand Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, everything you see in the newspapers is simply redundant. The material world, there are bombs dropping all around us. And there happens to be a bomb coming down right on top of your head. And it's just a matter of whether it be a few minutes or a few years till it falls in your head and everything is finished. And yet everyone's scattering this way, that way, trying to make some material arrangement. But let us follow Srila Prabhupada's example and fearlessly do nice seva for Krishna and chant the holy names. Srila Prabhupada printed so many books. He gave so much of his life's energy. He did what no one could achieve in many lifetimes, he did in a few short years, because he understood what an emergency it was. At 70 years he began this movement, and there was over 100 temples all over the world he established. Over 40 beautiful, beautiful books printed. Thousands and thousands of devotees. Because he understood it is emergency. Take to Krishna consciousness now. During this wonderful time of his centennial, let us appreciate the sacrifice he made for us. And let us, with grateful hearts, dive into this ocean of love that he has given us, the ocean of Krishna consciousness. By chanting the holy names, by reading his books, by living a pure life, without illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, or meat eating. And let us truly show our gratitude for him by never giving up our enthusiasm to assist his great mission. Because Srila Prabhupada lives within his teachings. He lives within the mission he established, the mission of divine transcendental mercy. And he lives in the hearts of any devotee who sincerely tries to serve that mission that he sacrificed his life for. And this is the greatest treasure in all of creation. Let us not neglect it for any of the cheap, temporary, broken pieces of glass that are called treasures in this world. Let us accept the rare diamond of Srila Prabhupada's causeless mercy. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada wanted everyone to be happy through the process of chanting Hare Krishna. He often quoted that great verse, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatirangita. In the age of Kali Yuga, the Yuga Dharma, is to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. There is no other way, no other way, no other way. By chanting Hare Krishna, we can associate directly with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because in this age of Kali Yuga, Krishna has personally, with all of his opulences, descended within the sound of his name. In this age of Kali, which is an ocean of faults, there is only one benediction. That simply by chanting Krishna's divine name, we can achieve the perfection of liberation. And this was Srila Prabhupada's gift to the world, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In all of his satsangs, in all of his books, in all of his temples, in all of his devotees, were simply meant to induce the world to take shelter of Krishna's holy name. Because that is the only relief by which we can find in this world of so much uncertainty. In Krishna's name, we can experience the ultimate bliss, the ocean of transcendental nectar of love of Krishna. So let us celebrate this wonderful occasion by performing the congregational chanting which was most pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. Yesterday, His Holiness Srila Giriraj Maharaj spoke so nicely of Srila Prabhupada's wonderful pastimes here in Juhu. He told us how once Srila Prabhupada was walking down the beach and some little children, they saw him and they very playfully said, Hare Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada was very happy. And he looked at his disciples and he said, this is the perfection of our mission, that people are chanting Hare Krishna. How pleased Srila Prabhupada. He was so ecstatic to see some little children here in Juhu saying Hare Krishna. How pleased he will be if all of you, with great sincerity and attention, raise your arms as he has taught us to dance, calling out very sincerely the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
So let us, at this time, offer this precious gift for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. As I am chanting, everyone listen very attentively, with folded hands. Receive the name of the Lord with great humility and respect. Folding your hands like this, in a mood of prayer, in a mood of welcoming Krishna into our hearts. And as you are chanting in the mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Srila Prabhupada personally demonstrated, raise your arms very, very high, like this, which is the ultimate mudra of humility, of surrendering your life to the lotus feet of the holy name, and helplessly reaching out for that mercy. And let us chant very loudly that the holy name will reverberate and liberate all fortunate souls who come in contact with this purifying sound vibration. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai,
Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki
jai,
Shri Shri Radha Rasa Vihari ki
jai,
Shri Harinam Sankirtan ki
jai.